So before I read this morning's lesson from Matthew, I thought I'd share a little bit about how I thought about this as I was preparing. So it takes place on a lake, and in my life, we like to go water skiing and inner tubing and stuff, and we go up to Lake Nacimiento up in Paso Robles. So as I read this, I tried to put myself on my lake so that I could kind of get a better feel for kind of what was going on. So there's a big crowd, and when Jesus starts to talk, he realizes that standing on the shore is not going to work for him. So my lake has a nice big cove, and I imagine that's where something like this would take place. So this morning's reading is from Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 9, and then 18 through 23. So if you would please rise for the gospel reading. That same day, Jesus went out the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds had gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell upon the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, since they had no root. They withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on the good soil and brought forth grain, some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the world, on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case a hundredfold, in another 60, and in another 30. May the Lord add his blessing to the word.
Thank you, Don, for that reading, and thank you, Sarah, for that beautiful song for us. Would you join me in a prayer? Gracious and loving God, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you, God, speaking to us about your love and your abundance of grace, through your words, through beautiful music, beautiful song. And now speak to us, O God, through your parable, the parable of Jesus. May we learn what life is all about, what faith is all about, what grace is all about once again, through your words, with the help of your Holy Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now that Mina and I have been here in Thousand Oaks for a year, people have been asking us how our first year has been. We've been asked, so, what do you like about Thousand Oaks? What do you dislike about Thousand Oaks? Have you been to all the wonderful hiking trails? Have you been to all these restaurants? Have you been out to all these golf courses, the beaches? We really do enjoy Thousand Oaks, and I understand there are still more things to do, more places to go here in Thousand Oaks. And so we are looking forward to that in our second year. But if there's one thing that Mina wish she had in Thousand Oaks, something that she had for 20 years back in Inland Empire, the Riverside area, is her own backyard. One of the things that Mina enjoyed back in our home in Yucaipa was doing some gardening. You know, planting your own fruit trees, tomato vines, sowing seeds for certain vegetables and flowers. Unfortunately, here we don't have a backyard. Well, I take that back. That is unfortunately for her, but for me, I kind of enjoy not having the backyard. I don't hear Mina shouting anymore, "Hey, can you stop watching TV and come out and help me with the gardening? Do this and that." And so in a way, I kind of enjoy that, but I better stop there before I get myself in trouble with her. Let me just say, all kinds of things are growing right now in the garden, in your backyards, I know. And they're growing in abundance. Tomatoes, peaches, zucchini, and again, all kinds of things. Now, I have heard that more and more people are growing fruits and vegetables in their own backyard because, first of all, they taste better, right? They're organic, they're true organic. And also by growing your own fruits and vegetables and flowers, you will save some money in your pocket as the price of fruits and vegetables seems to be going up every year. And so perhaps, you know, the prospect of growing your own food and save some money are the reasons why people are growing their own stuff every year. They're doing more gardening than ever before. In fact, the sales of the books on gardening is also on the rise every year, with the people who not only want to grow their own vegetables and fruits, but want to do it right. After all, people want to be efficient in everything that they do. And so we buy books, we go online, we Google how we can be a better gardener, and we also ask the people who are experts on gardening. Now, I asked at the 9 o'clock service who are the experts in gardening here at UMCTO, and Rose came up to me, and she said, "You know, Fady McCune," and she just kind of walked in. Fady is the master gardener at our church, and so it's good to know. Now, one person you don't want to ask for any kind of gardening tips is the sower in our text from Matthew this morning. This is the one person you don't want to ask anything about gardening, because apparently this guy has never read a book on gardening. And his instinct on gardening is just horrendous, terrible. Instead of carefully preparing his plot of ground, instead of carefully scattering the seeds, this person is just going all over the place, all over town, throwing big, wasteful handful of seeds into the air. He is reckless with the seeds. Yes, some of it falls on the good soil and produce some good stuff, but most of it falls on the road where the birds come along and eat it up. And some of it falls on gravels and where it sprouts after the first good rain, but then withers and dies because it doesn't have any dirt to put its roots down. And some of it falls among the weeds and thorns where it gets choked up by so many other stuff, by the competitions. But what would you expect? That's not how you do gardening. And so if you are serious about gardening, growing your own vegetables and fruits and flowers and do it efficiently, you don't want to follow this sower's way of doing gardening. His methodology is no good. Now, obviously, I'm not here to give you tips on gardening. As my wife, Mina, would tell you, I would be the last person you would ask on gardening. I'm here instead to share a few tips on life and faith. Even then, all I'm doing is sharing Jesus' tips on life and faith, because we all know Jesus often gave some wonderful advices on life and faith through his parables. Now, parables can always be read from several points of view, and this one is no different. You can read this parable from the point of a view of us, the people, the soil. We are represented by the various kinds of soil, all kinds of soils. Or you can read this parable from the point of view of God, who in this case is this unconventional gardener, this extravagant sower, this reckless sower. Now, as Don mentioned earlier, this parable begins as Jesus goes out of the house and sits by the sea. Now, as much as we all want to go to the beach or go to the lake and hear this lesson, but we can't. We are here. And so let's just say that this could take place anywhere here in Thousand Oaks. And if Jesus were to do that here and tell this parable, who would be in his audience? He will probably have all kinds of soils, all kinds of people who have gathered to hear this lesson. Maybe some might be struggling with their faith, for whatever the reason. Some might have lost their jobs, or some might have to relocate, or perhaps some have failed in relationship, some because of the loss of health, the news of cancer, some because of the loss of their loved ones, some who seem to be getting all the bad breaks in life, some who might be trying out Christianity, some who might be trying out this church. And to them, Jesus begins to talk about the sower who goes out and throws seeds just all over. Now, a few verses later, Jesus explains what all those different places, all those different soils symbolize. The sower scatters the seeds on the path. The pathway symbolizes those people who are probably feeling being always walked on. They symbolize those who have been trampled down by life. They symbolize those whose circumstances of life will not allow them to hear and receive the word of God as it is, because what they're going through. Nevertheless, Jesus says, on those people, the sower sows the seeds. Now, Jesus also says there are other people who are represented by a rocky ground, shallow ground. And what happens when you throw seeds there is it will spring up and grow for a day or two, nice and green. Then all of a sudden, the plants wither away. There is no depth, no place for roots. So there is no grounding. And Jesus says there are some people like that. They are shallow. They are the kinds of people whose life agenda only has two items, and that is the pleasant or unpleasant. They only know of two people, those who like them and those who don't. They only see life as either all rosy or just all gloomy. Do you know people like that? There is no place in between. There is no depth in these people. Because of that, there will be no grain, no produce either. But Jesus says the sower goes out and sows, even on the shallow places of life, even in the shallow people. And then Jesus goes on to say, the sower goes out and sows where the thorns and the weeds are. Jesus, in this interpretation, is saying that those who are the thorn are those who are often captured by the worries and the cares of this world. They are sometimes lured by wealth and all the things going on around them. They are the people that are sometimes just trying to do too much or perhaps too greedy. And he says to those people who are trying to do so much, they are not focused. And because of that, because they are always greedy, always focused on worldly things, they don't know what is good and what is bad. And so they fail to yield. But, nevertheless, the sower sows the seeds, even among the thorns and weeds. And then, of course, there's good soil. The good soil represents those who are genuinely good and honest and humble. You can see the Spirit of God working in their lives, in their soils. Yes, it begins small, and of course we all struggle. And yet slowly but surely the Spirit of God begins to increase and deepen and shape those lives. It has all the right nutrients, you know, the right pH, whatever balance in the soil. And so it shapes them so that they can receive the seed, the word of God, and so it can take root in them and flourish and grow. And it produces fruit, yielding in one case, hundredfold. Now that is looking at the parable from the point of view of the soil. And it's no rocket science that what kind of soil that you and I want to be. And if we are not there yet, then we are all trying our best to get there, to be the good soil, doing what it's supposed to do. But what if we are called to look at this parable from God's point of view? You know, this unconventional, extravagant, reckless sower. And I hate using that word, reckless, but it has a good meaning in here. The person who scatters seeds everywhere, I mean everywhere. And if the sower, the farmer in this parable is supposed to be God, then this God goes against almost every conventional or every economic principles that we value. The sower recklessly throws seeds. He's even more reckless than, you know, sometimes the people that we hear about throwing money away in the streets, especially in New York streets, you know, city. It happens quite randomly. You don't understand. And yet, that is what God seems to be doing, recklessly tossing the seeds around without any concern for waste. Now, there's another text of seeds and grace that goes with this text in the Old Testament this Sunday that we didn't get to, from Isaiah chapter 55, where Isaiah reminds the people of Israel in exile in Babylon that God and God's word are like the rain and the snow that comes down from heaven, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower, bread to the eater. They do not return until they have done what they're supposed to do, showering the earth with grace. Rain and the snow come down on everyone, do they not? They come down, whether it's on a good soil or bad soil. In all different circumstances of people's lives, they do come down. What are we hearing from Isaiah then? Well, as you and I may be in an exile from time to time in life, you and I may be faithful on one day or not. You and I may be faithful on one occasion or not. You and I may be receptive on occasion or not. But in God, there is grace in every place. The amazing thing about this parable from the point of view of God is God doesn't just throw the seed on the good soil just where he knows that there is going to be a harvest. God goes out and casts the seed on all soils, on the pathways into the shallow soil where there are weeds and there are thorns, as well as on the good soil. Everyone receives the seeds of grace, the Word of God. Going back to the parable, what Jesus is saying here is this. And maybe Jesus is telling us this parable of the wasteful sower to look at life differently from time to time. Maybe Jesus is showing us that there is more to life than the bottom line. That life is not measured in terms of return on investment or in terms of dollars and cents and membership. Maybe Jesus is teaching us that central issue for us should not always about trying to be efficient and perfect. Rather, it is about our humanity, why we need grace, and why we need to provide grace. You know Henry Nouwen, I'm sure, a world-renowned Dutch priest, a theologian, and author of many books. Many years ago, in the late 70s, he spent a year in Bolivia and Peru. And in an interview, he talked about what he learned about himself during his stay there in South America. And he writes, "I came to realize there that being a Western Northern person, you always want to do something. You always want to have a plan. You see problems and you want to change something. We have a very structured kind of thinking. Well, when I got there, I too realized if I wanted to approach reality that way, I might as well give up. When I walked from the church to home, which was 20 minutes up the hill over a sandy, dusty road, the little children would come up to me and take me by the fingers, literally, so that I didn't have any free fingers left. They climbed all over my body, and they were always around me, looking at me, wanting to play with me, play ball around me. They were telling me something. They were giving me a sense of, this is the day that the Lord has made for us. Just rejoice and be glad in it. Let's just be a word of each other. They were indirectly unmasking my illusion of wanting to do something big. They kept laughing, however, and playing and telling me something about life that I didn't know. In the midst of all the misery and hunger and difficulty, there was life-giving reality." Again, the parable of the sower is really reminding us what Henry Nouwen has experienced and what he is telling all of us from his experience. And that is, sometimes we have to just walk away from this structured way of thinking, this structured kind of thinking. Not that it is not important. That's very important to you. But sometimes we are called to be just extravagant with our faith and grace and enjoy sowing the seeds of grace. And I see that in so many events and ministries here at UMCTO. In many ways, you know, as my sermon title says, unconventional gardener, UMCTO is unconventional church. I mean that in good sense. You are reckless with the grace. I first realized that in many ways that your pie auction back in February, talk about being reckless, raising over $10,000 for our youth and children in less than 2 hours. I know we can't do that every day, but it's showing me something. And I see that in so many places, like VBS, you had over 100 children and volunteers for VBS. Obviously, they're not all of our church family members and the children. In fact, more than half of them are not related to our church. But you keep on going all out with VBS, being reckless. Thanks to Diana and all the wonderful VBS teachers and volunteers. But I have to be honest with you. I said to myself after VBS, you know, God, if we could at least have 20% of those children's families join our church, you know, how nice it would be, right? And I prayed. And here's what God said to me. He says, you know, that's not what I am really concerned about, and you shouldn't be either. No matter how hard you try, you're not going to be able to know this mystery of God's kingdom. In other words, you're not God. I am God. You are a sower of seeds. That's all. Some will fall among the thorns and rocks, some on the pathway, some will fall on the good soil. So just do your best and trust the rest to God. That's all God is asking us to do. And really, that's real faith. That's faith. And I know that's the theme. That's what the theme of UMCTO has all been about. I know your theme for the last 20 years has been about making faith real, or faith made real. Some of you came to me and asked whether I was going to change the theme or introduce a new theme. Maybe someday, but for now, I intend to keep that wonderful theme, faith made real. Make faith real. And I hope that you and I will continue to work together to make our faith real and rejoice. Speaking of theme, Bishop Thomas Bickerton from Pennsylvania Conference was the guest preacher at our annual conference opening worship service a couple of years ago. Those of you who went there might remember his sermon. And in the sermon, he talked about his early experience as a newly elected bishop. And he said, you know, wherever he went that year, people would ask him, you know, that same question over and over. And that is, Bishop, what is your theme? What is your plan? What is your vision for us? And he would go on to one district gathering, and there it was. Bishop, what is your theme? What is your plan? And he would go to another district gathering, and again, same question. Bishop, do you have a theme for us? Do you have a plan for us? And he would go to the UMW gathering and UMM gathering. Bishop, do you have a theme? And if so, what is your theme? And finally, there was a person who picked the wrong day to ask the bishop this question. And Bishop Bickerton, when asked once again what his theme was by this person, Bishop just looked at him and said, you want to know what my theme is? You really do want to know what my theme is? I'll tell you what my theme is. My theme is lighten up, loosen up, and have some fun. God knows how disappointing, despairing it can be when the seed does not take roots. In all the hard work in your personal life, in your family life, in the church life, seems to be landing everywhere but good soil. And yes, it finally does catch up to us because we're human beings. And in many ways, we're going through that as a denomination. And so perhaps there's a place where we need to learn from this parable again and from this sower. The sower does not do that, does he? He accepts the reality that, yes, some seeds, in fact, a good portion of it, will fall on bad soil. And yet he keeps sowing. Just like Jesus, who keeps spreading the good news with his words, no matter how dry, rocky, or weed-infested the ground is, he keeps on sharing the good news. And his followers are called to do the same. Again, it doesn't mean that planning, preparing, and being efficient are not important. It is very important. They are important. But this parable goes beyond that. It goes to the core as to why we are doing this. I love how this parable ends, however. It ends not with the stories of bad soils. It does not even end with a normal harvest from the good soils. I understand, you know, the sevenfold harvest from good soil would be a blessing to our Jewish brothers and sisters in the Old Testament. And it would be a wonderful result for all of us. We'll take that anytime, right? That would be sufficient. But here, it ends with the good soil yielding hundredfold. It ends with a miracle. It ends with the abundance of God. And that's what it's all about. Which is why I love author Beth Campbell's statement when she writes, "Some of us have that empty barrel faith, walking around expecting things to run out eventually, expecting that there isn't enough air, there isn't enough water, expecting that someone is going to do you wrong. The God I serve told me to expect the best, that there is enough for everybody." And so, as you and I go into this week, lighten up, loosen up, and have some fun. Maybe that could be our new theme, I don't know, but just have some fun sowing the seeds of grace, because we have a God who is so abundant, who scatters this grace recklessly and extravagantly all over the place. So go out. Be unconventional in this conventional world. Be extravagant and have some fun and trust the rest to God. Thanks be to God. Amen.